702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Christopher Nrea, the AgriSA Executive Director, joins us to tell us a bit more and explain about load shedding threatening food security. Christo, worrying one there. How are you?
Hi, good morning, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us at this early hour. I'm sure as someone who is in the industry, I'd assume that you're used to these kind of hours.
Yes, no. If you want food on the table, then the farmer must get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows and to make sure that, the chickens and everything gets well fed so that you can eat in the morning and throughout the day.
And so ironic in Afrikaans, they say that the Buddha is ni pap and flays ni.
Yeah, the sniper sissy si, ne?
Yeah, but back to more serious news, Christo. We're looking at food, like load shedding is affecting everything. And specifically now going into the summer crop planting season, for some of our listeners who aren't aware, can you just give us an idea of the impact of load shedding on our food security because of especially the season, the upcoming season?
Farmers that do irrigation have a serious challenge. It takes a pivot to do its rounds in approximately 8 to 10 hours. And if there's a disruption, then you run a risk that some of your crops won't get fertilizer, it won't get water and biochemicals, which at the end of the day will cause them to die. And then you've got a serious problem because you're going to lose your crops and you're going to lose all the money that you spend on planting.
Sure. And Christo, to mitigate some of the issues created by load shedding, it must be an expensive exercise. And across the spectrum, whether you are an experienced farmer or a subsistence and commercial, or even starting out, it must be difficult across the spectrum.
Indeed. Whether you're a small-scale or big-scale farmer, all of us depend on electricity. Now imagine you're a farmer that run a abattoir or you have a processing plant. You cannot cut your meat, you cannot slaughter your cattle or whatever. Your cold storage facilities are not up and running. You have to get your stuff to the market. When you get at the market, your ripening facilities, your refrigeration cold storage facilities are not working. So it's creating a big challenge. But remember, many of our farmers have already adapted. They have bought their own generators, they have bought their own solar panels and so forth. But it's not all farmers that can afford that. Many farmers don't have the money to buy, to be self-sufficient when it comes to electricity. So overall, it's a crisis for the sector, but I don't think one should just think of our sector. It's a crisis for the entire economy.
Yes, Christo, you guys literally put food on our tables. So I don't want to wait for a situation where now we are fighting at supermarkets and we are fighting at grocery stores because of food shortages and we're paying ridiculous inflated prices. What can we do now? Because government says it's creating jobs. This job creation thing, if you wait for government, we're honestly going to be courting doom. So what are the mitigating factors before we don't have food on our plates?
Remember, farmers face a range of challenges. We've seen a massive spike in the rise of input costs. Diesel cost has gone through the roof. Fertilizer costs. Labor cost, electricity cost, and on top of that, you now have load reduction, as well as load shedding. Load reduction is where Eskom just switch off a line because there's problems on that line, and then those farmers don't have power for a number of hours. So, and then you've also, when you, in terms of infrastructure, our roads are in a dilapidated state. When farmers have to drive their stock from the farm to or their produce from the farm to the market, then they also have to fork out huge amounts of money just to keep those trucks going. So what people don't realize is that our farmers are under severe pressure, not only economic pressure but also political pressure.
Yes.
And social pressure, because crime is rampant in many areas. So whether you're a black farmer or a white farmer, criminals are coming for you. They steal your stuff and they vandalize your farm to get copper cables and stuff like that. So it's not easy. And that's why we say government takes care of your farmers. Doesn't matter whether the cat is black or white, as long as the cat catches the mice. And that should be our focus. How do we support our farmers? How do we help them to make it make their plight easier? Because they are instrumental in feeding the nation.
Mm.
If you don't have farmers, then as a nation, you're going to go hungry. There's going to be malnutrition, and there's going to be food inflation like never before. And people, when people are hungry, people will go on. The entire country becomes unstable, politically unstable. Mm. So it's that's why AgriSA engages with government, we engage with ESCOM.
Yes.
We have meetings with them on a regular basis.
Yes.
And yes, we understand the pressure that ESCOM is under and government is under. But now is the time for us to take hands, find solutions, and stop the political infighting and stop the political bickering and political power play.
Christo, I love your approach. I love your positivity. What should we do as citizens? Anyone listening out there in the industry, and as citizens and even private businesses, how should we, and if you could have the ear of Minister Angie Toko, who is the Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development Minister or Member of Parliament, what would you say to her? If you could just sit, if she was listening to you right now, what would you say?
We regularly engage with Minister Toko Didiza.
Mm-hmm.
I must really say she's door is very open to us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, just before the COVID pandemic, we decided collectively to declare agriculture as an essential service.
Okay.
Because if agriculture wasn't declared an essential service, we would have had serious trouble getting access to food during the lockdown period.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's again the time to say, listen, let's prioritize agriculture. Let's again focus on the need for it to be prioritized as an essential sector. And once you have that in mind, then you can say, right, how do we minimize the impact of load shedding on the farming sector? And I know it's very difficult sometimes for ESCOM, but if we don't do that, we run a very big risk of our country going hungry and our people suffering as a result of food shortages or very high food prices.
Christo, one thing that we're all guilty of is not paying attention. So as listeners out there, how can we keep abreast and in touch with what is happening in with agriculture in South Africa?
I think people need to read up and understand the complexity of agriculture. People need to voice their support for the agriculture sector. And yes, people need to also see to what extent they can become self-sufficient. Not all people have an inclination for farming. I used to love farming when I was a young kid. My father taught me. But use your backyard space to produce something there and just keep your family going. But at the same time, also put pressure on government to take care of the economy. You know, we have a habit in South Africa of focusing so much on the politics that we neglect the economy. It's not politics that put bread on the table. It's the economy that puts bread on the table. It's entrepreneurs that risk their money, that risk everything to invest in a venture like agriculture and then hope that there will be a return on that investment. But agriculture is a high-risk business. You face such a lot of challenges, and 1 year it's a drought. The next year you've got fires. The next year you've got low commodity prices. Or you've got problems with the logistic network, increase in input prices. So it's a multitude of factors that at the end of the day make or break a farmer. And I think government need to be aware of that. If you look at what the USA is doing, what the European Union is doing, Brasilia is doing, and China is doing, they support their farmers because their first priority is to ensure that people are well fed.
It's Christopher Rieder, AgriSA Executive Director, letting us know about load shedding and the impact it has on food security. Thank you so much once again, Christopher. I hope to speak to you in future. All the best.
It's always a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.